you want to recap?
If I ask you, because I will ask you on the test, what makes something a miracle, what would you say? What makes something miraculous?
Something that you wouldn't expect to happen.
Something you wouldn't expect to happen. So I think that is a perfect way to put it. We'll say out of the ordinary, okay? So absolutely. Can you remember one of the things? So you each last week got to do this thing where you looked it up. You may remember, I don't know if you remember it, but you should. If you didn't, that's okay. But if you do remember, what was some of these things that were out of the ordinary that you guys read about?
Jesus put some demons into pigs and threw them off cliffs.
Yeah, so of course there's the memorable moment of Jesus murdering a bunch of pigs with demons, right? So Jesus putting demons into pigs, how is that out of the ordinary? The whole thing is out of the ordinary. That's the answer, right? So that was a rhetorical question. Of course, the whole thing sounds insane. Okay, do you remember any of the other ones? What else did he do?
They were healing a paralyzed man.
Yep, so there's multiple healings, right? Yeah. So healings. And if it wasn't a healing, what happened if the person was already dead?
They were brought back to life.
Right, so resurrections, right? And these are oftentimes the three that you have all named are oftentimes the most common out-of-the-ordinary events that Jesus undergoes. So you have Jesus on multiple occasions, maybe not into pigs. I mean, that's sort of absurd, right? That's out there. But Jesus casting out demons happens a lot, right? That's important, especially because as we read through Scripture, what you realize is that demons represent being unclean. And so if you are a follower, if you're a good practicing Jew, what will happen is cleanliness is important and demons are not clean, right? So what do you got to do? You got to get rid of them, right? You want to cast them out. Okay. Healings are important because there are a lot of them, right? Jesus heals a bunch of people. Do you remember what are the different ways? How does he heal people? What does he do?
He tells them.
He tells them, right? And the same thing with resurrections, right? So it's through word and what else? How else does he heal people? Yes, man, you guys are very good. So through word and touch, okay? And actually, this is super important. If you come to church this Sunday, what we're going to read in a little bit is literally what we're going to read Sunday morning. But part of it is people wanting to touch Jesus, right? Why? Because touching holds power, just like words hold power. And so healings and resurrections, right? So remember Lazarus was the one who he resurrected?
He was dead.
Yes, so his buddy Lazarus is dead, and I remember that phrase, he stinketh, right? That's how we know he's dead, is he stinketh. So Lazarus stinketh so bad, but he did it through word, right? And then Lazarus comes out, and then they unwrap him, and he's back as his old Lazarus himself. Yes?
Does he still stink?
Good question. It's funny. Scripture actually tells us that they have to unravel him because he stinketh, and then they bathe him ritually. Why? To make him clean. See, so that's that cleanliness thing that we're talking about with casting out demons. So this is the big thing. The sayings are a little bit more all over the place, right? So we started to talk about sayings that Jesus says a lot of things, and we talked about last week, if you remember, the line about, I didn't come here to make peace, I came here with the sword, and so your mother and fathers and all that, okay? So Jesus says all kinds of stuff. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to continue with the sayings portion. But we're going to look at very specific parts of the saying. So we're going to kind of keep on this theme one more day because what you're going to see is that a lot of scripture has to do with sayings. Jesus is teaching, right? And we teach through sayings. So there's three different things we're going to do. And if you look up here, we're going to talk about the parables. We're going to talk about the last commandment. So we did a little bit about that last week. We hinted at it. So, and the parables again, apparently, because I don't know how to type. So we'll work that out. So let's jump in. So the first thing is called the Beatitudes. So I want to get used to you hearing that phrase, Beatitudes, okay? And you may or may not know what that means, but the Beatitudes are this section found in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, so Matthew 5 and Luke 6. That are phrases that begin with the word blessed are, okay? So, well, I'll give them to you in a second. We'll read them. But before we even get there, if I say that blessed are or you are blessed, what do I mean?
You
So what how do we know someone is blessed, or what is a blessing? Let's ask that. If I asked you to define a blessing, what's a blessing?
Good luck.
Good, okay, so luck maybe. So good luck. Okay. So certainly people talk about that. Have you ever had something happen good to you and someone goes, "Oh, you're so blessed."
Fortunate.
Okay. So good luck, being fortunate. Okay. Absolutely. What else? Any other things that you can think of when it comes to defining a blessing? If I say, Jesus is always blessing people. At church, we bless you, right? What does that mean? If I offer you a blessing.
Go in peace.
Okay, so it's a sign of peace, perhaps. Right, so a blessing can be a sign of peace, right? Which is exactly what I do, right? At the end of church, I put my hand up like this, and I go, you know, the Lord guide you and protect you, Lord be with you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. And then we sing a song and say, go in peace, right? So it has to kind of do with that sending in peace. Okay, so blessings, I want you to hold on to these definitions because we're going to kind of talk through it a little bit. So what I want to do is give you this. This is a copy of the Beatitudes, but what do you notice in the way it's printed? Where are these from? Matthew and Luke, right?
Yeah.
What about that middle column?
Mark.
What do you notice about Mark?
Nothing.
It ain't there, right? Mark ain't got him, and John is way out there. John obviously doesn't have it. So we're looking at something that repeats. In other words, in Mark's gospel, which, as you might recall, we believe is the first written gospel, these don't even appear. So these happen later on, okay? However, they happen in both Matthew and Luke. And so before we even read them, what do you notice about the column on the left for Matthew and the column on the right for Luke? What do you notice is just a difference just looking at it quickly?
Matthew's is long, Luke's is short.
Right, so Matthew's is longer and Luke's is shorter, okay? So remember that, because that's going to be important. So this is called the gospel parallel. So literally what they will do is they will take the gospels and they will line them up side by side, and in that way you can see how they are or are not the same. Okay, so in other words, if it happens in Matthew, you should be able to look across and see how Luke says that. And then this gap means that there are parts of Matthew that Luke doesn't say, but then Luke picks back up and they share things again, right? So that's how this is to be read. So here's what I think we should do. I think we should start by reading the longer of the two. So if someone can do me the honor and the privilege of reading Matthew. Ella, could you do that for me?
Yeah.
I know you can. So this is Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Go ahead.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for it's the same way they persecuted their prophets who were before you.
Okay. Notice a pattern?
Yeah.
What's the pattern?
Blessed are...
Yeah, right? Blessed are the blank, for they will blank, right? So, in other words, blessing on a certain person or group, and then a promise in the future, right? So they will, how many of you like literature, like reading? Okay. So when I say they will, am I talking about what's happening right now? No. What am I talking about?
What's going to happen.
The future, right? What's going to happen. So this implies something, a future thing occurring, right? So this is the future, right? But blessed are implies what?
It's happening right now, right?
So today. So what we're doing is we are connecting a blessing with today to something happening in the future, whether it be another blessed event or just something that's going on. Okay. So we have this sort of formula going on, right? And we talked, and Liam, I think you said peace, right? So do you notice blessed are the peacemakers, right? So you said that blessing could sometimes maybe be associated with peace, right? So here, what do you notice about the people who are blessed? So we have the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do those sound like good things?
Nope.
No. So we said that oftentimes blessings are good, are signs of a good luck or being fortunate. But here, notice it's not, right? These are things that we kind of hope to avoid in our lives, right? So maybe things that we wouldn't consider blessings, but they are, right? Or they will be, right? The people will find comfort or will inherit the earth and whatnot. But then let's go to verse 7. So we have the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Does that sound a little bit better? Little bit, right? These are maybe things that we want to be, right? We want to be merciful, right? We want to learn how to forgive people. We want to be pure in heart, right? We want to know that we treat each other with what's, you know, who we are on the inside is who we are on the outside. Being a peacemaker is a good thing, right? I think, unless you're like crazy or something. You know, we want to be a peacemaker. That's the hope, is that we can help bring peace to the world. So you'll notice that there's this sort of back and forth going on, okay? So now, let's read Luke. Maddie, can you read Luke for me?
Okay. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you. Account on the Son of Man. Rejoice in the way that I leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets.
Okay. So, you have this interesting thing going on here. Blessed are you who are poor. Okay, so do we notice kind of the same, right? Blessed are you, are the, so blessed are you who are poor. What word do you see there? For yours is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so is that the same as Matthew?
No.
What's different?
He says, the first one says, is the kingdom of heaven and earth. And then the other one, and they also say for yours, and then they say the kingdom.
Right, so the first thing you notice right away is that kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and that just shows that each of those authors, Matthew and Luke, speak in different terms about maybe the same thing, right? That sometimes one thing can have multiple ways to talk about it. This, I think, is what's going on here. One of them calls the kingdom of heaven, one calls the kingdom of God, but ultimately they're talking about the same reality. But what do you notice about the poor in Matthew versus the poor in Luke? What word is in there?
Yours, and then theirs. Oh, yeah, spirit.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about this for a second, because I think this gets to a bigger issue. So if I say, blessed are the poor in spirit, okay? Right? Am I talking about people who are literally poor?
No.
Who am I talking about?
People who are poor in spirit.
Right. Very good. Yes. That's, well, you're right, so I can't, you know, that is a good answer technically. What does it mean to be poor in spirit?
Maybe you lack certain emotions or something.
Yeah, maybe you lack certain emotions or maybe...
Or you lack belief in God.
You lack belief in God, right? So you lack belief in God. So poor in spirit, we're not talking about something physical. We're talking about something inside of us, right? Belief or faith or something like that. But... when it says, blessed are the poor, who are we talking about?
People who are poor.
People who are poor, right? Like legit people who don't have enough, right? So let's go to look at Matthew, the Matthew side, verse 6, right? So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And then Luke says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. What do you notice is different there? What word is missing in Luke? Okay. What's the really big word?
Righteousness,
right? So, hungering for righteousness, right, means hungering for God in your life, right? Hungering for something above and beyond you. But the other side, Luke is talking about, blessed are you who are hungry now. Who is he talking about?
People who are hungry.
People who need food, yeah. Right? Not spiritual food, but like legit food. Yeah, Liam.
So something to go along with, mm-hmm. The actual poor, like people who are legit poor.
Mm-hmm.
Take me, for example.
That is that that while I was waiting for like a moth to fly out of your wallet, I feel like that's the only thing that was missing from that moment.
All, this is literally all I have.
You have, yeah, but you can get as many library books as you want. I bet.
Yeah.
Which is like free books and a picture of your baby cousin. That's got to be worth something, right? Like, so we have a difference here, right? Now, what I want you to see is that on the one side, Matthew was talking about spiritual things. So if you look at the TV screen now, I have it kind of up here, the differences, right? Talking about spiritual things, whereas Luke is talking about physical things, right? Matthew is always kind of talking about the future, but Luke is always using the word now, right? He says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep now. Right? In other words, he's worried about what's happening in the moment, whereas Matthew's kind of looking ahead a little bit more. And it's not in here, but it will be here on Sunday. Matthew does a bunch of blessings. Luke does what we call the woes. So you'll see on Sunday, if you come to church, the woes are like curses. Like, so what he does is he says, so woe to you who are full, right? For you will be hungry. Woe to you who is rich, for you will be poor, right? That's a pretty radical thing, right? That's whereas, nice. Like, yeah, like Matthew's...
So that's what woe means.
So, like, Matthew is all about, like, the blessings. But Luke, those gaps in between, show that there's fewer blessings. There's actually only four, right? One, two, three, four, you can count them. And then Luke actually follows up those four blessings with woes, right? Like warnings about like being... So again, what I want you to hear is this. Each of these gospels is written in a unique way. And each of them has a different intention. And so sometimes, even though you can hear it one way from one writer, it can sound completely different from another. And little words make a big difference, right? Like we said, being poor in spirit is a matter of what's inside. But Luke is worried about those who are, as we've been saying, legit poor. Right? Or being thirsting for righteousness, right? Thirsting for God's glory in your life isn't the same as like just being thirsty, right? Like being thirsty is a physical thing. Like you can feel it, or being hungry is a physical thing. So to hear that sometimes we hear similar language, but it can mean very different things. And also, you know, it's not in here, but in Matthew, this sermon is happening as part of the Sermon on the Mount. So he's on a mountaintop doing it, right? So he's sort of at a mountaintop. And in scriptures, oftentimes, things that happen on the top of mountains are really holy things because you're closer to God, right? And in the ancient world, a mountain was like reaching into the heavens. And so if you went up to a mountain to talk with God, it meant that you were closer to God. But in Luke, he's on a plain. He's on a flat piece of land.
Oh, I thought you meant like a plane.
Not an airplane. Like, that would be craziness. Yeah. Jesus had a jumbo jet, and he just parked it and started preaching. So this is called the Sermon on the Plain. So even the location is different, right? Whereas in Matthew, he's on a mountaintop. In Luke, he's just on a flat piece of land talking to people, which is different, right? It's a different setting, and it holds different meaning. So I just want you to see that some of the sayings of Jesus can look or sound different depending upon what's going on and what the intentions of the writer are. So now, I'm gonna hand out another piece of paper. Yeah, Liam.
I was gonna say for the poor,
mm-hmm.
I have one thing to say to that.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, honey, give me money.
There it is. That is indeed our saying of the year. Yes.
What Luke is doing though, like when he thinks like, for like the woes, I guess, like mm-hmm. when, like, because he's saying that blessed are you for like the poor, and mm-hmm. then he's like, you just said that like he's making the rich people
mm-hmm.
poor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't that like opposite them, and then like he just do it over and over again? They just go back and forth.
So I love the phrase you use, opposite them, right? In Luke, Jesus' message is about turning the world upside down. Luke is all about helping people to see that the things that we hold valuable in the world today are not the things that God holds valuable. So that's a really good question, right? Because then if you're making the rich poor, then don't we have another issue because now we have poor people again? So you're right. And that cycle could be endless. But what Luke is, I think, getting at is saying that for those that think they have everything they need in money, you're going to see that God is present with those in most need. So if you have a lot of things, being poor isn't something to want to be, right? Like, you don't want to do that just to do it. But I think what he's getting at is saying, but in having riches, you don't necessarily have God with you. But what you can do is use your money and go to the people who need it, right? And the place where God is often found is with those who need help. So you can find your place with the poor, right, by sharing what you have or by sharing your food with them. And it may make you less wealthy, but ultimately what you're doing is you're lifting people out of their poverty, you're filling stomachs and making people less hungry. So Luke is really concerned about, like, action now, right? Like going to a food pantry. I mean, have you ever served in a food pantry before?
Sort of.
How do you sort of feed?
Feed my starving children.
Oh, you've done? Okay. So
yeah, I've done that.
Awesome. So you've done Feed My Starving Children, right? Like right there, you're living into Luke, right? Like you're doing what Luke is saying, right? Like put food in people's stomachs. Whereas in Matthew is more of like, put the word in people's minds, right? Like share Jesus with them. And while those are both important things, they're very different things, right? So I want you to hear that difference and what service looks like. For Luke, he wants you to go to Feed My Starving Children.
Like, would you rather have, like, a rich man come up to you and be like, oh, yeah, God's real, right? And then just leave?
Right.
And do anything?
Or would you rather have the rich guy come up to you and say, not only is God real, I know God is present with you in your struggles, and I'm going to share what I have to help you in your struggles, right? That's what Luke wants. So it's a different gospel, right? But it's the same kind of layout, right? And that's what this is trying to show you. So now on the screen, you'll see a list of all the parables. And I also, before I put the PowerPoint together, I printed them out. So I'm going to give you them. Here's what I'm going to ask. Take your Bibles. Each of you are going to find, pick a parable. Don't pick the same one as your neighbor. The rule is that this time, if you can, pick a parable that happens in more than one gospel. So if you look at this, there is a whole bunch. Pick one that happens in more than one, and what gospel is missing?
Oh. Can I have a paper, Ella?
Ella's hoarding them.
Yeah, I didn't know I had to.
Because we have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so what gospel is missing?
John,
right. So again, this is a reminder that John's gospel is so radically different that sometimes when it comes to just looking at scripture, John is sort of way out there on his own. So,
wait, what is John about?
So John is what we call non-synoptic. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we all think kind of were written and used.
They're the main gospel.
Yeah, and they kind of used each other. They have a similar structure. They used each other's resources. Like Mark was written first, and there are portions of Mark that we know Matthew and Luke borrowed. John, however, is not written anything like them. The style is different. The content is different. Stories are in John that don't exist in the others and vice versa. So John is sort of out there. So a lot of times in these lists, John won't be there because John's gospel just looks and sounds so different. John's gospel is much more sort of spiritual. Whereas like Luke, we just talked about, is about like what's happening in the world today, right? Like what's going on today and how do we respond faithfully. So everyone pick one and read it through really quick. They shouldn't all be very long. If you pick one that when you open your Bible is too long, pick a different one. But I want you to read your parable. Okay? So read it. And what I want you to do is try to explain. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to explain what happened in your parable. So like, just tell me what happened. Don't read it to me, but tell me what happened. And then tell me what you think the lesson is, okay? And then from that, I'm going to ask the question of what the heck is a parable? Have any of you ever read a parable before or know what they are? Because I think before we get too far, we should answer that question. What's a parable? So read what you have, right? Whatever one you picked, read it through, figure out what it just means, like what it says. Try to figure out what the message is, and then from that, I want to see if we can figure out what a parable even does. And again, you can pick, look for ones that aren't crazy long, because there are a couple that might be. Okay.
It's too long.
It's too long.
I can't find mine.
You can't find yours.
Mine's easy and short. Verses 1-13.
Y'all should be in the New Testament.
I know, but I can't find Luke. I found it.
So So Matthew, Mark, Luke, it should be the third book of the New Testament. Liam, you sounded pretty confident that you found yours.
Okay.
Did you find yours?
I found mine in one.
Okay, that's fine. Just read it out of one then. One is good enough. So read it through and let me know when you're done reading it.
Okay. I did the faithful versus the wicked servant.
Okay, so what happens in the faithful versus the wicked servant?
Okay, I'm just going to read it through. Because
is it not very long? All right, go ahead. You can read it. And which gospel are you in? Because it happens Matthew. In all three. All right, so you're going to do it out of Matthew. Okay, great. Go ahead.
Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with drunkards. So the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he did not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hammer.
Whoa, that got okay. Intense. That went in a different direction.
In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
It's like Valentine's Day at my school.
Yeah, weeping and gnashing of teeth? Is that what happens tomorrow? Man, I cannot wait for you to go to school tomorrow.
You
should hide. Yeah. Ooh. Okay, let's... Wow. Ella, way to go in that selection. Let's talk about it. So the title is The Faithful and Wicked Servant. All right, so in other words, we know we have two characters, right?
Yeah.
A faithful servant and a wicked servant. Are these real people, yes or no?
No.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not, right. So hopefully. So in other words, these are like theoretical characters, right? So we don't know if they're real or not, but they're characters, right? And so what does the faithful servant do?
He does everything right.
He does what he's supposed to do, right? He's faithful, right? So he needs to help feed the other servants or manage the household, and he does it well. What does the wicked servant do?
Not do that.
Doesn't do that, right? All right. So now, yeah. So now, yeah, he, whatever he does, it ain't good. He goes and gets drunk or whatever it said. So then, what does the owner do when he gets back?
He destroys him.
I've never heard someone be like, and he cut him to pieces, and they laughed when they said it. That was sort of frightening a little bit. So in other words, the wicked one is punished, right? Okay.
He got destroyed, literally.
Destroyed, legit destroyed. Okay.
I don't get what the gnashing of teeth.
The weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Take a hammer and just snap
your teeth. Yeah, he's like, I'm angry.
I also finished mine.
So, all right. So what do you think the lesson is of this then? What do you think if this story is included, right? So Jesus tells parables, right? Don't what do you think wicked. The parable is?
Don't be bad or else you'll die.
In some ways, sort of, right? In other words, be faithful, right?
Be faithful, not the wicked, or else you'll get punished. Let's think
about this for a moment then. So we have a faithful and wicked servant. Who could be a faithful or wicked servant? Us, right? We have a choice to make, right? We make choice in our life, and we can be faithful or not. Then who do you think the owner is?
Jesus, God,
right? In other words, this story is meant to show you potentially what you should be doing, right? How you should be acting. In other words, be the faithful servant, right? If you hear this story being told and you're like, oh boy, you probably walk away from Jesus going, first of all, y'all got problems. But second of all, you're going to say to yourself, I better be a faithful servant, right? Like, even if Jesus doesn't tell you what's going on in this, very quickly you hear someone tell you this story and you're like, if I have to pick who I am, I want to be them. Because the other one ends up in pieces. Again, legit in pieces. So that being said, what is a parable then? So this is a parable, right? What does a parable do? What did we just do with this story?
It tells you something that could happen.
Yes.
Tells you don't be wicked.
Don't do things.
So a parable is essentially, it is a fictional story, right? With true, with a daily experience, right? So with like a daily experience. In other words, something that could happen, right? Like,
that's a daily experience.
Well, yeah, in that world it could have been.
Yes, ma'am.
Drunk, I'm gonna cut you up.
All right. Great. So, okay. You know what I'm saying. With the daily experience. So,
kids.
Let's put it this way. Why don't we not use daily experience? What if we said with something that could potentially happen, okay?
So, I hope not.
Hey, man, who knows?
Someone is gonna just run up and cut you up.
So, it could potentially occur. We had to pick the most violent one. Thanks a lot, Ella.
Thanks, Ella.
A parable is a fictional event that could potentially occur with an underlying lesson, okay? So the underlying lesson here, I would think, is don't be wicked.
Yeah, don't get wicked or else your teeth will get knocked out.
Unless, don't be bad or else you'll be like,
well,
different pieces everywhere.
When we say weeping and gnashing of teeth is actually like an ancient phrase, and like gnashing of teeth, like, have you ever been really angry and you like grind your teeth together? Like, you have to like hold back your anger?
When I get mad, I punch my cry.
Or you, okay, so you know the weeping part. You don't do the gnashing part.
Yeah, I
do.
So
when I was little, I got mad and I was watching videos on my dad's phone. And she took it and she went in the bathroom and locked the door. And I got so mad I literally kicked the door open while it was locked.
But you didn't take it as far as this, right? I just want to make sure. Okay. So, Liam, I would be very curious, what parable did you choose? Which parable did you choose?
The Ten Virgins.
Okay, and let's hear, tell me what goes on with that.
Basically what happens is that there's 10 virgins.
Okay.
Wow.
5 wives.
Okay.
Wait, what?
You walked in at the right time.
No, yep. She walked in at the wrong time.
So go ahead, so there's 5 foolish, 5 wise, and what happens?
5 of them don't bring enough oil for their lamps.
Okay.
Which were the foolish.
Right.
All the wise brought enough oil, and they're basically saying, hey, give us some of your oil for our lamps.
Okay.
And the wise said, no, get your own.
Get your own, right? Okay. And is that pretty much what happens?
Pretty much.
Okay. So again, so it's 5 and 5. 5 are called wise and 5 are not, right? Not wise. The 5 that are wise do what?
They bring enough oil for their lamps.
They bring oil. The 5 that aren't do what?
They don't bring enough oil.
Okay. Then what do they have to do?
They have to beg.
They have to beg.
They have to go, honey, give me money.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping this would lead to. And then do they end up getting it? Do they end up getting what they need?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. So what do you think the lesson is there?
Don't be greedy.
All right. Or...
bring your own oil.
Be prepared. Bring your own oil. Be prepared.
Don't go, honey, give me money.
If you have what you need, do what you need to do. So, again, you have, these aren't like characters that are named, right? So this is a story. It has 5 and 5, right? So you have characters that you can identify with, whether it be the wise ones or the not wise ones, and then a choice to be made, right? And the choice here was that they didn't bring what they were supposed to, which then meant they were in trouble. So the lesson here might be to be prepared or to do what you're told to do, to be ready and when the time comes.
Honey, don't give me money.
Yeah, well, that ends up happening. So let's, Maddie, let's hear, which one did you choose?
I did the barren fig tree.
Okay, the barren fig tree. All right, let's hear. What's going on?
I know the story.
What's going on with the barren fig tree?
There's a barren fig tree, right?
And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and found none. And then he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, and I have come seeking my fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, and why cut it down? Why should I use up the ground? And he answered him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig it around it and put on manure, and then it should bear fruit next year. And well and good, but if not, you can cut it down.
Okay. So who are the characters here?
The tree.
The tree is one of them. Who else?
Two random people.
Two random folks. We don't know their names. We don't know anything about them. What we do know is that one of them is trying to figure out what to do with this tree. And what's going on with this poor fig tree?
It's just not dead.
It ain't real figgy, is the way I would put it, right? It ain't real figgy. And they need, what was that?
What What is this for?
We are recording our classes for those that can't be with us. So
this is a good microphone.
So we have a not so figgy fig tree. Mm-hmm. And how long has it been not so figgy?
3 years.
3 years. So what does the dude say? He's like,
get figgy with it.
Yeah, let's get figgy with it. Oh, that was
McDye.
That might be the best thing I've heard all day. So he doesn't say let's get figgy with it. Well, actually, he kind of does. What is his plan? The guy with the tree is like, what am I gonna do?
He's like, chop it down.
What does the other one do?
The other guy's like, let's put manure.
Let's get figgy with it, right? Like, let's give it a chance. In other words, not yet. Give it one more shot, right? So maybe the lesson here, what do you think the lesson then is here? If we're going to try and wrestle a lesson out, what do we think?
Give it a chance.
Give it a chance, right?
Things for 3 years, there's still a chance.
There's still a chance the fourth year you could get figgy with it.
Someone
that
needs
is,
to put on Let It Grow.
Let It Grow. Oh, wow. This
let it
is,
die, let it die.
Oh, wow. We have hit the pun station, and it is getting worse and worse. All right. We have one left. What parable did you choose?
I chose the mustard seed.
Ooh.
Pretty nice.
I wanted to do that one.
All right. So what's up with this mustard seed?
So,
let's hear.
This guy is referring to the kingdom of God as a small mustard seed. So
okay.
When it grows, it turns into like a big tree and supplies everyone with their needs.
Wait, mustard goes to the tree?
Okay. So time for a lesson.
I busted my knee.
Mustard is, so you know how mustard's like, bitty, tiny, tiny seed. It's like one of the smallest seeds. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, they're like that big.
Like
a
poppy
seed. And yeah, they're like about the size, they're a little bit bigger than a poppy seed. Like tiny, tiny, tiny. But if you ever see a mustard, it's actually not a tree. It's kind of like a bush, sort of.
It's a shrub.
It's a shrub. But it's a really impressively big and invasive shrub. Like mustard trees, or shrubs, we should say, are very invasive. They kind of like take over areas, and they can grow to be very large. Not necessarily tall, but very large. In other words, you have this little tiny seed that grows into this really impressive thing. So what do you think the lesson is to be had there?
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Don't let mustard seeds grow in your...
Everywhere. All right, so make sure to weed your yard for mustard. Thank you. But also, I like that, right? Like, don't judge a book by its cover, essentially, right? In other words,
the friend
don't
Edna
judge
and
a mustard seed by its size.
Yeah,
don't
that's
judge
exactly
a mustard by its size.
And what does the mustard seed represent here? He says at the very beginning, what is
growth.
It? It literally says, no, yes, thank you. Oh, man, that was a...
There's a lot of growth when you need
the kingdom of God. So in other words, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. So sometimes what God will do, or what Jesus does, is he will use parables to tell you what the kingdom of God is like. So oftentimes, parables have to do with the kingdom of God. Okay, so you have the kingdom of God is part of it. So parables are fictional stories that could be potentially happen, and we want to clarify
because of
Ella's with the murdering of a servant thing.
Oh,
but they have
they
have an underlying lesson, and oftentimes parables are about the kingdom of God. How many of you have ever heard of a good Samaritan? Have you ever heard of a good Samaritan?
I think so.
What do we mean when we say, oh, that person's a good Samaritan?
A good person.
Yeah, generally means it's a good person. But look, the Good Samaritan is actually on here, and it comes from Luke 10. And the story of the Good Samaritan is a guy is traveling, and he gets ambushed and robbed and left to die on the side of the road. And people, I know this is a really uplifting one, and people keep walking by and are, instead of like stopping to help this dude, are literally crossing to the other side of the road and leaving him there.
There's like, a man on the side of the road.
Well, they didn't.
Somewhere to be.
They didn't exactly have ambulances then. Let's be clear. But finally, someone stops, and the person that stops is a Samaritan. Okay, a Samaritan is a person from Samaria, and what Jesus' audience would know is that a Samaritan are oftentimes seen as the enemy. In other words, people from Samaria are people that aren't very friendly to the people that follow Jesus. But who's the one who stops? The Samaritan. And the Samaritan picks up the guy, carries him into town, brings him into the inn, and then pays for him to find rest and lodging until he heals.
How strong is that dude?
He's pretty strong. Well, there's probably a donkey there.
I was going to say, I thought he put him like a
He has a donkey with him. So, yeah. I forgot that detail. But anyway, so what do you think the moral of that story is? That you have a Samaritan, the villain of the story.
Just be nice no matter what people categorize.
Be nice no matter who categorizes. In other words,
and be a good person.
Jesus is trying to get people to see that just because you think someone's a villain or an enemy in your life doesn't mean they are. For all you know, they may be the one that will be most helpful, right? In other words, don't let the things that divide us keep us from helping each other. So these are important things. So I want you to get out of parables. Our parables are sayings.
The friend at midnight.
The what? Which one are you looking
at? The friend at midnight.
The friend at midnight.
That
is what? No.
I want someone to do the speck and the log.
Is that the one?
So Jesus essentially tells them, if someone has a speck of dust in their eye, right? What are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, there's something in your eye. And he says, don't worry about them, because if you're more concerned about what's wrong with them, but he says, you may have a log in your eye. In other words, a speck of dust is nothing compared to the log. But sometimes we get so caught up in telling other people what's wrong with them that we lose sight of what's going on with ourselves. So while you may have a speck on you, you know, like a little like wood chip or something wrong with you, I have an entire log in my eye. But instead of realizing what's wrong with me, I'm busy pointing at what's wrong with you.
Log in the eye or like log in?
Not a log in. Yes, and your username. Don't forget your username. All right, I think we have legitimately run out of potential here. So we're going to close with a quick prayer. We will pick up again next week. I believe Judy.